The Around the NFL Podcast. Didn't come here to make friends.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
What is happening?
What is happening indeed?
Very concerned now about speaking right into the microphone because there were some reports coming out of from listeners from the last show that, you know, some of us were a little low at times. So have the mouth right on the microphone for the entire duration of the show.
It's almost like my supposed heel turn, which people seem to surprisingly enjoy it. For the most part.
When you put on the black hat out of nowhere.
Yeah, you know,
I think you enjoy it.
I hadn't eaten. One Raiders fan said he used to never like me, but now because of that, he likes me now that I'm evil.
Like,
but it's almost like, you know, maybe I had a point if the sound was quiet. There you go.
Somehow this comes around to Greg being correct in some sort of a debate.
Congratulations. You're kind of like Ed Harris in Westworld now. I don't know if you follow that HBO.
No, I try not to.
Makes sense to me.
But a little Harris-esque. Yes, this is the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, sponsored, of course, and always, by Mr. Flames Economics Class in The Hague, the Netherlands. Mr. F. And Mark, I do have to say, I forgot to do the sponsor read again, and you are much closer to Mr. F than perhaps anyone in this world besides his wife. How about you?
You should have maybe been the one to say, hey guys,
before we go on.
It's a fair point because, you know, considering all the kind things that he's done for us as a sponsor, you'd think that during Super Bowl week, this is sort of what he would have wanted a little bit more mention. So that falls directly on my shoulders.
Also, I will say, Mark, this is the first time I've seen you since the last podcast. How's your Super Bowl week going?
Oh, it's just been absolutely pleasant. You know, I just imagine.
I sent Mark periodic texts like, hey, man, you got to come out, get out of the hotel room. And you're like, no, can't do it. I'm a soldier.
Well, here's the thing. When I get through, the Patriots were kind enough, and most reporters can get behind this, no doubt. You know, the Falcons have their media availability in the early in the morning, so you can get your reporting done, your writing done, and by 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, your day starts up. The Patriots are doing it at 4 to 5:15.
Right, you're going to go to that after we tape.
Regrettably,
today.
That is true. I will be there, and then I have another, you know, round of work to do. So, but I hope to see you tonight, because the big chunk of the work is hopefully over.
That's good. And hope to see Wes a little later tonight, get him out. You know, we got to get the foursome out before the end of Super Bowl week.
Has that not happened? That's crazy.
I don't think it's happened.
No, that's a good point.
It happened
that's
briefly. We had it happened very briefly on, I believe, was it Monday night?
That's right. True. As Mark at the bar played Enya and other in some 80s new wave songs.
No, Enya.
While Dan read aloud one of the great writings of our time.
Yeah. Well, I can't say who it was, but let's just say we found the blog posting of a sports personality from several years ago, and we did like a Fire Joe Morgan-esque reading of it with commentary and Mark serving as the soundtrack. Fun times with a couple of beers in you. But we have some serious things to talk about. One serious thing to talk about, and my goodness, it's a big one. Super Bowl 51, and this will act as our official preview show of the game, a game between, of course, the New England Patriots and Atlanta Falcons, the last Patriots Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Greg, I know this one's special to you because this is the end of the road.
Well, I remember thinking that back in 2012 when they lost, that was the end of the road. Since then, I believe they've made 5 AFC Championship games. This is 2 Super Bowls. So you never know. This guy, Tom Brady, I don't know if you heard, he's beaten back Father Time.
Are people talking about that?
It's a storyline. He's kind of ageless. How about Billy B, too?
I remember that after the Patriots beat the Seahawks, Greg, right after it happened, you were trying to be reasonable. You thought, anything from this point on is just, it's a cherry on top, icing on the cake. Well, give me a break. The cake just gets bigger and bigger.
Well,
There's more and more
it's
icing.
It's a gluttonous cake.
Yeah. I do feel that way, that this loss, if it happened, would be easier to take than the other two that happened because of what happened against Seattle, that they did get that one extra one. Now, this would be something, it would be special. It would give Brady and Belichick more Super Bowls than anyone. It would almost end those sort of greatest ever debates. I mean, it's still
pretty much over.
It's still,
if they win,
it's very significant and would be sweet. But yeah, if they lost, I don't think it would be quite as bad.
Yeah, this is the last one, though.
Why do you know,
Dan,
that?
You don't know that. You've not had good luck with this narrative.
I kind of believe that. I believe that last time too, because this is all, none of this has ever happened. We've never seen a team have a dynasty. Damashek likes to point out, it's not really a dynasty. It's two guys. The two guys are the dynasty.
Yeah.
They've had two totally separate eras of championship level play.
And it's funny, we've been talking about Tom Brady and waiting for him, or me specifically, waiting for him to get old and go away and leave me alone and go raise his kid. You got kids, Tom, from a previous relationship and with your beautiful wife, Giselle. I'm not judging him on that. I'm just stating the facts. How about now that you are, I'm getting a little off topic here, but now that you are heading towards age 40 in August, start spending more time with the kids.
I mean,
let's think about priorities.
Hand it over to Jimmy Garoppolo. Forget trading him to the Browns.
I think he'll actually probably just hand it over to one of his three sons directly. That's what will happen. When they won their first Super Bowl, Belichick and Brady, I was 27. I did not ever think back on that night, and I was rooting for them hard to beat the Rams because they were a great story, that at age 43,
we'd
still be looking at a Belichick-Brady combination that, to me, I could see them winning two more still. It's crazy.
I was living in Boston, attending Northeastern University the night that the Patriots started their dynasty by beating the Rams. And
little did you know.
And it was such a fun experience because the Patriots were given very little chance of winning that game. And they were like the big underdog, the plucky team. To imagine from that what they grew into, this monster.
Wait, so you essentially rooted for the Patriots that night? That is maybe responsible for what's happened.
Remember
since.
Who the
this
Rams
is
were.
Where you're getting.
I didn't even answer.
It has a lot to do with who the Rams were. They were this unbeatable force of going for their second Super Bowl, and the Patriots had come from nowhere with a quarterback none of us had heard of.
It was a tremendous Super Bowl party at a college town. That's all. So I enjoyed that, but it wasn't like I was so happy that the Patriots had won that day. But they were like the Jets. The Patriots were a little better franchise than the Jets at that point. So seeing them beat the mighty greatest show on turf was something, and look what they've become.
Well, it's one reason why I've always felt closer to Dan than you would expect. Is he's got just a little bit of mass hole in him from his time in Boston as a college student.
That is another incorrect generalization by Greg. He's on fire. All right, so let's
studio
get into
does
it.
Something to Greg.
It does.
That's what I've noticed.
I think it's the mic. Because he was actually giving you crap about the NPR
thing.
Look
what the mic does to Greg.
But the mic turns people into maybe what they've always wanted to be. Because when we wear the headsets in our studio, you know, it's a little more Clark Kent. But then you put this big, you know, I don't know, $3,000 microphone or whatever it is in front of people. And sometimes their true nature comes out.
I hadn't slept or eaten last time. This time I feel great.
Well, none of us have slept or eaten, so let's wipe those away.
All right. So, we are ready to roll. Can I throw in one shameless plug before we get going?
Please.
I was a guest on the John Gabrus, a friend of mine, actor, comedian, on the John Gabrus High and Mighty podcast. You could check that out if you go to my Twitter feed or John Gabrus's Twitter feed. We talked about the Super Bowl and everything connected to the Super Bowl. And memories of the Super Bowl, and also Sylvester Stallone films. So,
wow,
yeah, which you wouldn't expect, but they dovetail nicely. So check that out. And with that, Sid is in California, but still here with us in spirit. Let's do some news.
My favorite side dish is stuffing, and let me tell you why. It means so much. It's its own little party in your mouth.
Oh, Pat McAfee, you cad.
We're leading the news with Patty Mac?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I mean, he probably thinks we should, but that's not.
Oh, he thinks we should.
That is not where we are leading the news. The news that we're going to lead with, gentlemen, surrounds and centers on, where do we want to start, actually? where should we start? Why don't we start with Roger Goodell's press conference?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of that, and we'll get to the game.
Yeah, we'll get to some other news.
We'll get to the hidden figures.
And then what? Oh, we're going to do, yeah, a big segment a little later. Hidden figures in Super Bowl 51. See, the important thing when doing a podcast is to tie in different elements of pop culture, like right. Super Bowl and Sly Stallone films.
Sure. Mm.
We are tying together a hot Oscar film, Hidden Figures.
Well, famously, or maybe not so famously, you know, NASA, Houston, the home of NASA. So it all ties in.
Yeah.
Where we are.
How about this little hidden meaning? So we'll do that. We will make our game predictions, and then we will go away. But let's start with the news, and let's start with Roger Goodell's press conference, which touched on a number of issues, Greg Rosenthal. But the one that got you all geeked up in the Super Bowl Media Center conference area where we've been working was Goodell strongly indicating that we will be seeing some shorter games in 2017 and beyond.
Yeah, and I know maybe that's not the screaming headline, but a lot of it's just, you know, he's trying to volley tough questions away, and it's almost like politics. This was actual news. This was stuff that was going to change our lives in some way. He made it sound like they are either going to kill one commercial break per half, knock it down from 5 to 4, or maybe they're going to put a play clock and kill the commercial between the extra point and the kickoff. I've heard some rumblings. Maybe they could even get rid of the 2-minute warning entirely.
That is wild. If that happens, that
to get rid of a break, kind of, because you know when they made the 2-minute warning, it was literally to give players a break. It was another time, another era. There's really no point in the 2-minute warning. Totally, I think that was part of it. So it really sounded like that's a stress that they want to reduce the games by 5 to 7 minutes, take out some of these commercial breaks, and I think that's something we can all look forward to.
The 2-minute warning thing, because teams often use it as a fourth timeout.
Sure.
So that is not just about time; it's about strategy too. Very interesting.
Goodell also, as the media's want to do, asked him about Deflategate. Which is kind of coming full circle now with the Patriots.
5 of 29 questions from the Boston area.
Yeah, makes sense. Asking about his feeling about the Patriots being involved and the possibility of the Lombardi Trophy being handed to Tom Brady in the same season he was suspended for cheating in the eyes of the NFL. And here's what Rog had to say.
We're moving on from that. That's part of our history, but it's something that we're comfortable with the process, the decision, and as I say, we're focusing on the game now.
Which is all good, Mark, for Rog to say, because now it's gotten to the point where the NFL doesn't want anything to do with Deflategate, now that the punishment's been doled out, and now it's still on their grid because the team involved is in the Super Bowl. But this doesn't really get settled. The Patriots might have the final word on it come Sunday.
Well, it feels to me the same way that someone would talk about a breakup. And the person that you dumped or that you were dumped by is going to have a different take. And the Patriots steam, you know, they're still, the Rodgers, like, time to move on. Sure, invite me over to your home. We can still see other people. We can go have a, you know, maybe even go on a double date at some point. And the Patriots want nothing to do with Roger Goodell, from what, at least Patriots fans want nothing to do with
Roger
Goodell.
That was one of the things that really struck me being at the game, is just how fired up the fans still are about this. I think living elsewhere, it's kind of like, this is old news right by now, but it's still so much in their mind to win one title in the season that Brady was suspended. And you can't really write it any better. Robert Kraft did say on Wednesday, though, you know, they would welcome Goodell back, especially, you know, they would love it, obviously, if he was there for the first game of the season, because that means they'll have won the title. So that is a olive branch. I think, you know, they're making up.
And by the way, this is going to be a little spoiler alert here. We've been here all week. This is going to be a Patriots crowd on Sunday, because, and I'm sure there will be
really
a lot of Falcons fans will come in this weekend. That's when the bulk of people come in. But I've seen very, very few Falcons fans walking the streets of Houston this week. And I have seen many, many Patriots fans, which I guess surprised me a little bit, because you would think the Pats fans at this point wouldn't be racing to go back to the Super Bowl, because there have been so many. But it, to me, at least so far, it seems like we're heading towards a pro-Patriots crowd on Sunday.
I think it seems inevitable because even if you go to, you hear what's happened at both media sessions, that the Falcons media session has been pretty barren of reporters and coverage. And if you're a Patriots fan, we just talked about it, it's been 16 plus years of good times, that if you had a child back then, you now have a 15-year-old that's grown up a Patriots fan. So there's no saying, hey, we've had enough of this for the 15-year-old. It is people, families, if they know that the Super Bowl is a possibility, they've gotten used to structuring their budgets to potentially go to the Super Bowl every year. It's there. If you're a Falcons fan, I talked to a couple Falcons fans on the drive here, and their one thought was, we're shocked this happened. None of them saw this coming before the
season. Well, you better get over to Houston. It's not too far away.
I'm not saying it's a long drive. You know,
it's time to process it.
It's like a very similar...
But it's not an annual ritual the way it is for, you know, people in New England.
No, I was caught flat-footed. You guys mentioned your memories of that first Patriots Super Bowl. I've regretted ever since not going there. It was in New Orleans, and I had friends that went there for less than ticket price that year. You couldn't scalp tickets to that game because no one wanted to travel after 2001.
What a total humiliation for you.
It was, but I was kind of caught flat-footed because you weren't expecting the Patriots to ever make it. But show up on Sunday. This would be the greatest moment in Atlanta sports history.
What, they get in the car now?
I don't throw the Braves title at me.
We'll get to that a little bit later because I have some research nuggets I wanted to share. Couple more notes from that press conference. Goodell ducked any and all Donald Trump questions, saying that his focus is singularly on the Super Bowl on Sunday. And finally, the Raiders and Patriots will play in Mexico next season, a game where the Raiders will be the home team. That I found that interesting because, and we love our listeners overseas, our listeners in the UK and London specifically, they've gotten... It's cool that the NFL goes there every year and there's plenty of games, but they very rarely get a good game between two real powerhouses. And Mexico is getting one of the AFC matchups of the season next year.
Yeah, I mean, you could say this is, you know, to some people, this is the AFC championship we never got.
It sure is. That's a great point, Mark. I'm still angry about Derek Carr. And even though, and by the way, well, Derek Carr, an indefinite... halting of my vengeance declaration.
Really?
I did it when I declared the possibility of vengeance, and then he helps locate that lost child. I initially set it at 2 weeks for him to unblock me, but now I want to just wait till the smoke clears on the season. I'm sure he's still getting his head right after surgery and the disappointment of the playoffs. I'm in the middle of things. I got two young kids at
home. Yes, wow. Certainly is a
You're
lot
really
to do
meeting
with,
in yeah. the middle of yeah. this imaginary
so,
war.
Let's let bygones be bygones, and I will extend this indefinitely.
Wow. What a generous soul.
I think there's a little bit of like a Twitter technicality going on, too, because I don't block a lot of people, but I think once you do, they're kind of out of your life. How often do you go into your blocks and say, who do I want to bring back? You might be, and you're sort of in another
Never.
World.
It's
I'm
over.
Not sure he's even going to know that you're blocked.
No, he does because I've...
He does.
There have been hundreds of people that have tweeted
well,
at him
yeah.
on my behalf. And again, we love the listeners. Shout out to the listeners. Other news, Larry Fitzgerald will return to the Arizona Cardinals in 2017. Coming after Fitzgerald, you know, after some time figuring out if his body could handle the grind. He says he's back to normal physically now. He said some things that were killing me late in the year are feeling back to normal for me. That's a relief. Also, my fire and desire to win and compete versus the best still burns, he told Rap Sheet. This is coming off a year, 107 catches, just over 1,000 yards, which I did not realize till today. He's not the game changer in terms of big plays anymore, but he is probably the best chain mover of a receiver in the league or near the top of the list.
Well, that often struggled, and he was someone, I think if you watch those games, his impact was so much greater than the yardage total. You're right. It's surprising to me that was the end total, but he was so valuable. And I think it's a good sign for Cardinals fans that Carson Palmer is going to come back. You don't know. There's been varying reports about whether Carson Palmer's house is for sale. He denied that. Cardinals fans that want to see what's behind quarterback door number two, I think, are being foolish. I think they could. I think if everything broke right, you could win a title with Carson Palmer. Who knows what would happen with Tony Romo or whoever else they could get.
I agree with that. And also, I would imagine that Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer and all those guys, they're texting behind the scenes. They know what's going to happen with next season. And if one of them said, I'm all in, and the other said, probably the other one said the same thing. I think you're going to get Carson Palmer again. Bruce Arians, people wondering if he could do it again. He's going to come back. Fitzgerald, one more year for this Cardinals offense.
Speaking of behind the scenes and the throne of ease and Larry Fitzgerald, Mark Wahlberg is taking part in a pro-am in Arizona this week.
Of course he is.
And he said, when the Patriots beat the Falcons, not if. In Super Bowl 51. How's that for a jinx, Greg? It will be the time for him to launch a plan to recruit Larry Fitzgerald to the Patriots this offseason. Here's what Mark Wahlberg had to say. By the way, Mark Wahlberg, who also once said that he could have stopped 9/11 if he was just on the plane.
Well, I'm playing with him next week. We played last year in the AT&T, so I'm playing with him again this year. And apologize to the people of Arizona, but I'll try to recruit him for the Patriots for 1 year. He'll get a ring and retire a champion.
Can anybody throw it to him?
I mean, Mark, come back to us. Enough of this Wahlberg stuff, Greg.
Yeah, it must be nice to have people laughing at jokes in quotes like that, you know, just like right next to you.
I mean, he's on point because there were rumors for years that Bill Belichick and the Patriots were going to try to trade for Fitzgerald at one point. He is not on point with the 9/11 thing. You're going to be on what? You stop one plane. There were multiple planes involved.
So Wahlberg's just going from one golf pro-am to the other. Like,
that's a good life.
What's going on? And how much of the Arizona state industry is made from golf pro-ams? I feel like quite a bit. That's all that happens in Arizona.
It's also fitting that the name of the pro-am that Mark Wahlberg is taking part in is the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Just leave it
if that
there.
Doesn't get you excited and get you right down to the golf course, what will, Dan?
In other news, Pat McAfee, who you heard with a great inspired bit at the top of news today, he is deciding to retire from the NFL after 8 seasons. He made the announcement on Comedy Central late last night on the Barstool Rundown program. He had a mock press conference where he announced that he was leaving the NFL at age 29 and joining the staff at Barstool Sports. Mark, I'll ask you this. Pat McAfee, very funny for a professional athlete. Do you think he can make the transition now, pushing all his chips to the middle of the table, just being funny?
Well, I think it's going to find out.
Is he funny or athlete funny?
I think he's athlete funny. We know he's athlete funny. I don't particularly find him to be funny. He's not like him and Dana Carvey are like hanging out together. But I will say this.
Carvey riff.
You're on a huge Carvey kick lately.
But I'll say this about
surprising Carvey riff lately from you.
Listen, you're up late at night. I watch a little Dana Carvey stuff. He has a new Netflix special.
Pat McAfee's got a new comedy special.
Well, let's hold off on that. My first thought when I saw this was, I've not been a pro athlete. I have been a sports journalist. That about 4 or 5 months into this gig, he's going to realize, wait a minute, this isn't nearly what I thought it would be. He will be punting by Halloween. He will be punting again by Halloween. That is what I wanted to tweet last night, but I know he's a little aggro on Twitter. Yeah. So I said, you know what? Have your day. Have your little thing. But he will be punting by Halloween.
Do you want to put a sandwich on that?
I'll put sandwiches on it, sure.
Okay.
Oh, I would take that. Although
he's 29.
I'm with you. If you said by 2018, I wouldn't take the sandwich. By 2019, for sure, he's back. Because that's the thing. You really could take 2 or 3 years off for comedy, get your feet wet, and then go back in and punt another 6 years.
All right.
I mean, this could also be a giant
good
bit.
Luck to him,
but,
you know?
I mean, the Colts tweeted out that he's retired, so it's not completely a bit.
It doesn't seem like a bit.
It's not a bit, but it may be an extended bit.
Well, maybe I'll give him a call, because I have experience, you know, hosting a podcast with a professional comedian.
You do? What podcast was that?
RJVP. And
that doesn't ring a bell.
Is
but
that
okay.
coming back?
No, the NFL did not allow that to come back a few weeks ago.
I did not have a hand in that, despite people thinking it was possible.
Do you think he'll be back, Dan, or do you find do you buy this entirely?
Who, Jeselnik? Well,
okay,
doubtful.
Let's start with Jeselnik.
We should get him on the Around the NFL podcast.
We'd love to have him on our show. Will Pat be back? No. I think he's very serious about this.
Okay.
And good luck to you, buddy. All right. Finally in the news, Lady Gaga had a press conference. And, you know, I'm excited about it. I got to say, I was at the press conference. That's part of my job here. And one of the most underrated aspects of the halftime performer, and I like Coldplay, but you need to have the charisma factor to carry a show like that. And it was obviously telling to me that last year, Coldplay, they decided to have them flanked by Bruno Mars and Beyonce, who's like the charisma perfection machine. But Gaga really does have that, like, that energy when she's in the room. And I thought it was a good press conference. Terry Bradshaw showed up. He is really perfected, by the way, the buzzed uncle shtick.
It's taken him a long way.
And I think he's always been folksy. That's part of the Terry thing. But now it's kind of like, you know, hit the eggnog a little bit. And he's telling Gaga that, you know, how much his favorite Gaga song ever is Edge of Glory, which is kind of a lesser known single, and was asking for like set list hints, and then asked if Gaga's grandmother was single. And then Gaga uncomfortably answered, well, she's widowed and I don't think she's ready to date again.
The good whole answer. Thing.
And Terry Bradshaw mentioned he's married too, so that's odd.
He did. Yeah, he's married as well. But I thought, you know, being there in person, it made me, I'm excited for the show. I always enjoy the halftime show, the spectacle of it, and I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good. Did you have any takeaways, Greg? I know you were in the newsroom area watching it as you were jotting down notes about Gaga's presser.
Well, that's not true. But I did have one thought. It was more about Luke Bryan. An artist I'm not overly familiar with, and a trend at these press conferences. And Gaga had
more
the same
than a trend. It's a tradition.
Every time they're asked about who they're rooting for, they hem and haw as if they're protecting some sort of state secret because they say they don't want to like offend any section of their fan base. It's like, all right, get over yourself,
don't
buddy.
Don't underestimate the egos either. They don't want to affect the game, Greg.
Right. I mean, Luke Bryan was like, you know, first of all, he hemmed and hawed, and he said, well, I do have to admit, usually I wouldn't say this, but, you know, I did grow up in Georgia. And I feel bad for all my fans. I've sold out Gillette Stadium a couple times. I was like, well, what? You know,
look, come
down.
Back to us, baby.
Part of it is you don't want to go out there and be announced and have half the stadium heard.
But that's
not
going to happen.
It probably won't.
Come back to us, Luke Bryan. You were raised in Georgia, went to college in Georgia.
It'd be insane not. Yeah.
And then they asked Gaga, and she's like, oh, I'm not going to go that far. How about this? I'll put the team I'm rooting for in my shoe, and after my performance, I'll share it. What?
It's not
that. No one cares.
I'm not going to announce who I'm rooting for in this game or my pick either during this podcast.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I like what she's done, and I'm going to keep my pick a secret up until the end and pull it out of my shoe.
Ooh,
for
I
you
like
two
that.
To see.
Well, it's not too late. We shared a nice moment at the Super Bowl 49, Mark, and we could that could happen again.
Yeah,
for
I don't
you.
Feel quite as fired up for the Patriots this time.
I mean,
sorry, because mainly because
the
they have me
the
go
NFL
into
podcast.
Press conferences at 4 p.m., but they kind of poison the well. This is many times Coldplay, I like many of the halftime shows, I kind of just said, give me a break, and I'm not into it. This one, I like Lady Gaga, like her a lot. I'm going to stand up and watch this thing from wire to wire.
Good for you, Mark. All right.
Excited.
That's what's happening in the news. I wanted to share a couple nuggets from the NFL research team. They do such a good job. I wrote a post on this on the End Around blog, which you should check out. Some of my favorite nuggets since the Super Bowl was set from the media team. I'm going to share some of them with you now before we get to Hidden Figures. Is that
figures.
It?
Yeah.
Okay, I almost messed it up. And Sydney, what I'm going to need your help with on this is I would love to hold up the Super Bowl 51 research notes in my hand. In fact, I'm doing it right now, even though you can't see me, Sid. And then I wanted you to play the final countdown by Europe, but we're not allowed to play anything under the strict laws of the shadowy league figures. So if you can find generic catalog music that sounds like the final countdown by Europe, do it now. Okay, with that, some nuggets I like. Greg, to your point about the city of Atlanta, they have one championship in 179 seasons from their major professional sports teams. Can you name the championship?
Well, yeah.
Easily.
I just said the Braves.
What year?
I will tell you the year.
Okay.
It was 95.
That's I think
correct.
He's right. Yeah.
And
that
they beat the Cleveland Indians of all teams.
I think I would have gotten it. I would have gotten
it. 6 games. That was the strike short 95 season. Otherwise, nobody. That we're talking the Hawks. We're talking the Thrashers, short-lived NHL team. We're talking the WNBA's Atlanta Dream.
Oh, too much.
Shut out.
You're always risking it if you don't have a nickname with an S on the end.
It's a risk. It's a risk. Anyway, more nugs.
The magic.
In this final countdown toward Super Bowl 51. Each of New England's 6 Super Bowls in the Brady Belichick era decided by 4 points or fewer. That's pretty crazy.
That is.
And all of them.
You would think that they would have wiped someone out in one of those games.
Well, the Eagles one is misleading. Whereas it wasn't the worst game of all time, they essentially had control of it. It was never truly in doubt. But yeah, the other 5 all came down to one play. It's wild. And if you even go back to Belichick as a defensive coordinator, you know, the game he made his reputation on, you know, took a missed kick by Scott Norwood. It's like his whole career, he could have 8 or 9 Super Bowls, or he could have 1.
Yeah, that's sports. With a win in Super Bowl 51, the Falcons defense would become the worst scoring defense. They've allowed 25.4 points per game this season to win a Super Bowl. But here's the funny thing. Here's the really interesting nugget about this. You want to hear the other 5 Super Bowl winners?
Or please.
The 5 that have qualified?
Yes.
The 2011 Giants, the 2006 Colts, the 2007 Giants, the 2012 Ravens, and the 2009 Saints. What does every team but that Saints team have in common? They beat the Patriots in the AFC title game or the Super Bowl in those seasons. So how about that, Greg? You're a little nervous about that.
Well, it was also all in the last 9 years because scoring is up.
So whatever, bro.
I'm just saying.
It's a decade worth of a sample size. Right?
No, I mean, it's interesting because that Saints... That Saints-Colts game reminds me a lot of this one, where it's the 2 best offenses in the league, and that score wasn't crazy high, but there was almost no stops in that game, and that's exactly how I anticipate this game going. Long drives, lots of scoring, and...
Don't give it away, Greg.
Instead of Tracy Porter, it's Logan Wright. No, I don't know. I'm just making this up.
Our predictions coming at the end of the show. Everybody on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. What will I pick?
My last nugget, and this again... All due respect to the Patriots in terms of how they build a team. Every year in the offseason, they'll sign one guy where everyone universally goes, oh, this guy is going to like kill everybody. He's going to be a perfect signing. Martellus Bennett was one of 2 of those this offseason, and then you can figure out why they're 16-2 right now. They also got Chris Always Open Hoken. But Martellus Bennett has the highest passer rating when targeted amongst any tight end in the league, 136.8. You know, we were all doom and gloom about the Patriots after Gronk went out, and we all respected Bennett, but maybe we didn't quite like factor in just how good Marty Bennett is.
He's a big time X factor because he hasn't been the same guy the last section of the season. He's playing hurt. He has not played his best in the playoffs. You know, he had a great regular season overall. To me, he is a huge X factor because if you get his A game, they are almost unstoppable. But he was kind of a, you know, as a receiver, almost non-existent the last 2 weeks.
Also a major X factor during what would otherwise be one of the maybe the worst hour of, you know, a team that produces nothing during its hour-long media availability. Bennett over there riffing on the new, like, people asked him about his time with the Giants, said, you know, it was my second year of marriage. It's so great to be in your second year of marriage. I was in New York. We went all over the place. How much he loves the New York art scene, and that the Giants would put, I get the Maras would put little notes in his locker saying, hey, there's an art show downtown on your day off here. Go check it out. So Bennett actually, I just sat there by him for like 30 minutes because it's like, it's an intriguing human being who actually does have less of a filter than the rest of the roster.
Wow. Well, How about that? Well, let's get into that. Let's get into some availability takeaways, both Greg and Mark.
Well, he proves you can talk if you're a Patriot.
That's I fair. Feel like if you're a dynamic tight end, you're allowed to talk.
If
you're a dynamic tight end with the Patriots, a lot of things can happen. Let me just say that beyond just talking. But come on, Greg.
Come
with me on the ride into darkness.
I got you.
Okay. He does stand in contrast to almost every other Patriot through the years.
Well, you might be onto something. I think if you prove yourself as a hardworking, tough player who performs at a high level, and I think the one thing Belichick said about Bennett all year is how tough he is, that he's playing through a cracked bone in his ankle, that he practices harder than anyone. I think you have a little more leeway than people think under Belichick.
Yeah, that's fair. What else, Greg? How about you? You checked out. Mark, you've been covering the Patriots all week.
That is right.
Greg, you've kind of jumped back and forth a little bit, right?
Yes, I have.
So how about don't steal my fire and talk about the
Falcons?
Whoa,
who do you want to talk about? Your little boy, Jimmy G, passing around Himalayan salt?
Jimmy G is, you know what? He's got a great personality.
Recipes?
He seemed extremely relaxed. I think he's an interesting guy. He's not
Mark
a typical
daydreaming
Patriot.
About Jimmy
oh, yeah,
G.
No, I
not
mean,
really.
When I saw the tweet.
Everyone who says, oh, Jimmy G is so amazingly handsome, like, I'm going to be honest. I don't get that. The way I would with like Tom Brady or someone else, I see it, but I just think that Jimmy G's sort of a bro and he's sort of like a dude. I don't know. He admits he still has so much to learn too.
But you're over there. You know, I see the tweet you sent out where you're comparing recipes or whatever, and I'm thinking, you know, Mark is getting the intel on potentially the next potential savior, and there's been a few potential saviors and they haven't worked out for the Cleveland Browns, and this one is realistic, and if I were you, I'm not just being a homer, he would be the guy that gets me most excited as a possibility this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, from another angle, right? When you're at these things, absolutely, you want to send out a couple tweets to kind of check a box and show the employer, oh, he was there. So now, there's
you
that.
Know how I read it.
You know, I thought it was a good tweet.
You know, when you're in the early stages of courtship with your significant other and you want to show like this nuanced kind of fun side to you. Like Mark doesn't like talking about food, but when Jimmy G was there, all of a sudden he was way plugged in on the recipe for guacamole. Guacamole.
Well, that was Nate Solder.
Oh, sorry.
Whatever.
But in general.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. Well, I think also you're roaming from player
like you're
to
looking
player.
For Jimmy G to be watching you being an intrepid journey.
You'd be like, hey, I get
no, you're roaming
I really
from
get
player
it, right,
to player.
Jimmy?
And because they're
football's
also
fun.
We're creating this reporter's notebook each day. And there are like five other people from NFL Network there. And so if I get anything, I say, that's it. That's what I'm writing about. Because it's like you don't, with the Patriots, and it's easy to say, oh, they're all incredibly boring. I would say guys like Nate Solder, incredible impression this week. I think he's one of the smarter players on the team. I think to a man, you can kind of get a feel for why the Patriots are the way they are. And it's annoying if you're a fan of another team because they are all in. There aren't any players there that don't seem to not basically speak the jargon and the code. And it isn't like, oh, they've got to say this and then they go behind closed doors and there's someone completely else. They are a bought in team. And this game to me feels like they're, from what I saw, that they're just preparing for another game, that there's no heightened, it's not that it's a Super Bowl or that it's this or that, or it could be a week six game. I asked some of them, you had an extra week. You don't have a lot of familiarity with the Falcons. Does that mean that you, Rob Ninkovich, I asked him about his film watching. Do you watch twice as much film? Do you do as much as you possibly can? He said, I do it the same way that I've done it for every opponent all year. Mm-hmm. That's how we're taught. You don't suddenly do something completely different.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good sign for Patriots fans that the team just seems completely beeline the way they've been all year.
That's what Brian Cox, the Falcons defensive line coach, said. That was like, if you go out drinking on Monday night and you get lit up, he's like, I want you going out drinking and getting lit up on Monday night. Don't do anything different.
Yes,
like,
please.
Do everything the same this week. I think you're right, too, on the Patriots in terms of there's a reason they become, I know this, it's going to sound like a homer, but there's a reason why the Patriots take them. I mean, Daron Harmon, Logan Ryan, those two guys, they sound like the same guys. They're very smart. They said they wouldn't have been drafted if they couldn't tackle. Like, that's a weird thing that they brought them there to tackle. Not many teams are stressing that. And they talked about the specific things that Belichick would tell them in practice to help them on a very fundamental level. And it got me thinking, like, there's not many other head coaches in the league that are able to execute a vision from that top down, that he's going to look for specific traits in players as a general manager, pick them, and then be able to coach them very fundamentally. Doesn't mean he's perfect at it, but he at least gets the guys. And that Thomas Dimitroff said this this week too. Belichick, if nothing else, always knows what he wants. He knows he wants very specific things, and he gets them. Danny boy,
you know, congratulations. I'm happy for you.
You know who I like? Dwight Freeney.
How about some Falcons takeaways?
Yeah, they were pretty.
Can we talk about the Falcons?
All right, they were pretty. Podcast? Yeah, that's fair. They were pretty dry on in contained too. I think. You know, there was a few more guys who I felt like were almost trying to convince themselves on the defensive side that, like, you know, we can't overthink things because Brady, they were talking just today, Jalen Collins, you know, Brady's seen everything. It's almost like both defenses know they're not going to stop. There's like Brady's seen everything. He's going to know what defense we're in. We can't like overthink it. We can't do it. And they felt a little younger on that side of the ball. But one guy that stuck out to me as a great talker and a great story here is Dwight Freeney. I mean, he's.
Yeah.
Talk about legacy guys. He, to me, is a Hall of Famer, no doubt. And he, like Michael Strahan, could kind of make himself a total no doubt Hall of Famer by going out with a big game in the Super Bowl to win what would be his second Super Bowl. And I thought he was funny this week just talking about, like, haven't I seen Tom Brady enough? You know, I've run into this guy. It's like, again, I've been running into this guy in Belichick for 15 years. They stopped me in the AFC, and it's like, come on, can we just mix it up? And I mean, those were the words he used. He literally was just like, enough of these guys.
I'm with him. I'm with him 100%. All right, that was a good takeaways, guys. Anything else?
Not really.
All right. Well, then let's move on. I've been excited about this ever since Greg hatched the name of the segment. This segment is called Hidden Figures.
It's equal rights. I have the right to see fine in Africa.
There we go.
What is that?
From the film Hidden Figures in theaters. Oscar-nominated film set at NASA in Houston, the site of Super Bowl 51.
I love this.
Connected dots.
I mean, what a month, what a year it's been for Janelle Monáe. I mean, out of nowhere in two best...
Oh, Monáe with a huge performance.
Best picture nominees. And how about how she looks in Moonlight? Mamma Mia.
Va-va-voom. By the way, we're speaking way of being track misogynistic, one more note about the Gaga press conference.
Everyone loves Janelle.
No, she's a beautiful, talented woman. Don't be ashamed, Greg.
Yeah.
I was just joking. But... how many years, and I've been covering these press conferences for 6 years now, anytime there's a female artist, you have to ask if their nipple's going to come out at the game and say, uh-oh, you know, Janet, are you going to have a wardrobe malfunction?
Wait, they ask that?
Every year if it's a female artist. The question was absurd. It was, well, as you know, the Patriots, last time they were at the Super Bowl in Houston, there was a wardrobe malfunction. Do you have any concerns? And she and Gaga had an interesting response, which was this.
Are you going to blame that on the Patriots?
It's just coincidence. Just curious.
Well, everything is going to be nice and tight for the game. So I wouldn't worry about that, unfortunately. Some of you might have been excited for that.
So good answer, but come back to us, journos. Just because it's a woman, you don't have to ask if the boobs are coming out.
That feels a little forced. Well, it is the press conference every year from the one or two that I've been to where suddenly, like, People Magazine and, like, E! And everyone else is popping up.
Oh, this is Kevin
Frazier's
Super Bowl.
Exactly. So, I mean, I can see where it's coming from. But I saw a little D. Orlando Ledbetter got a question
D-led.
In there, too. Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Our boy from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
D. Ledbetter getting the mix. Okay, so now it's time, to talk hidden figures.
Dan's still warming up to this entire concept.
Greg.
If it was Dan's bit, I mean, he'd be selling it. There'd be sound effects.
Wait,
like,
did you not hear any sound effects?
That's there true. Was, clowns there would be coming in and dancing.
Yeah, so hidden figure. Greg, can you explain the segment to both myself and the audience?
Well, and Mark.
It's just a couple guys maybe under the radar that you think could be a factor.
Oh, they're hidden figures. Oh. Yeah. What about the space program? Does it tie into NASA and Houston?
Their performance will be shooting off into the moon, into the sky.
Okay. I like that. All right, go ahead. Let's see. Let's hear some. Mark, you have some hidden figures
as
well?
I got a couple, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to moderate this one. I don't have any hidden figures.
You can throw out
my figures. I'll go second.
Maybe I'll throw it in there.
We'll go punch for punch.
No, you go first. Go for it.
All right, I'll start with an Atlanta Falcon. And again, I think this isn't a great player. That's someone that's going to make a play in the Super Bowl. Sometimes, like, these names come out of nowhere.
Malcolm Butler.
I think maybe Falcons cornerback Brian Poole. I was looking over at their whole roster. And do you want a huge rationale behind it?
I feel like Brian Poole
is in a nickel or dime package, is going to have a massive play in the fourth quarter. Book it right now.
Wait, so this is more a Sessler?
It is a Sessler.
So you don't have, you're just basically throwing darts at the roster.
No, I have others that I think are hidden figures that I think will be, that have consistently produced
all
year.
I think Brian Poole's been good this year for them, and that secondary is a trouble spot. I think as a Patriots fan, when I look at Keanu Neal's a rookie, Jalen Collins is basically has the experience of a rookie, Brian Poole, Robert Alford, I think these guys are in for a long day. And that's the biggest advantage that the Patriots have is that secondary. I don't trust them. They're the ones this week. I haven't really quite bought their bravado. But of all those guys, I think Brian Poole, he's like a hard hitter. I like Brian Poole.
We'll see. I think it's just that weird names pop up in the Super Bowl and suddenly everyone remembers this guy's name.
The Patriots are going to find themselves in the deep end.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Hello.
I'm going to throw out another Falcon.
What kind of figure would you define
him
as?
If you were looking for him, might not be able to find him because he's hidden.
Oh, got it. Now I get the segue. Go ahead.
Austin Hooper.
Hoop-um.
Their tight end. Their rookie tight end. Very speedy player. And the reason I point him out here is I don't think the opponents in this offseason, I mean this playoffs especially, have taken advantage of the weakness that the Patriots could have covering big players. That's Patrick Chung, who's a key player for them, and Belichick loves him, and he says it keeps them out of, you know, having to change their defense up. But I worry about Patrick Chung covering a tight end. I worry about him in coverage. And if it's not Patrick Chung, maybe it's Eric Rowe sometimes taking a big guy like a tight end. And those are two weaknesses where the Falcons have hurt teams all year with their depth. And I don't think the depth in the Patriots secondary is particularly good. And Ryan, like Aaron Rodgers, is good at just finding those weaknesses. And they'll just be going after Chung, going after Rowe. And I think Hooper could have a nice game.
That's a nice hidden figure.
I mean, it doesn't have to be too hidden. We don't have to go, you know, it doesn't have to be like bottom of the roster.
All right, Mark, give me another hidden figure.
I'm
going to
give you one that,
one.
Even if he has a great game, he'll be hidden because it's a position that's just hidden in general, but it's so important to what the Falcons do on offense, and it's Alex Mack, the center.
Mm.
And I realize that Alex Mack is not an unknown player. He's a Pro Bowler, but he's pretty unknown on the relative scale. What happens is that 6 days later, I think if the Falcons win this game, that there'll be some think pieces that show Alex Mack did his job. He absolutely dominated the way he has all season, and it kept Matt Ryan upright.
Wow.
And if you suddenly that doesn't happen, their line was such a mess for years. The minute Alex Mack came in, everything started to fall into place. And I think he was an absolute, I know Cleveland was never successful, but he was an unbelievable player for Cleveland, surrounded by very little talent.
You talked to him this week. He was a very likable guy too.
And I think that, you know, some of these guys that have come to these teams from terrible places, Alex Mack understands the perspective of how much different this is than any other experience he's had playing pro football. He's going to go out there. I think he's going to be healthy. And I really think Alex Mack is a key to this game.
Well,
nice one. Nice.
For the first time.
I have a hidden figure.
Well, I got to respond because for the first time in hidden figure history, I've got a hidden figure block. Alan Branch on the opposite side of Alex Mack erases Alex Mack. He's the hidden figure.
You ain't blocking me.
Who would have thought? Two hidden figures going up against each other.
If someone's already hidden, how do they then get? Are they further hidden by someone else?
Are they
just like blown off out of the ether of the universe?
The key here is that when Alan Branch and maybe Malcolm Brown, they're kind of a tag team combination. When they stand their ground, and Alex Mack and Andy Levitre and this running game aren't able to get any push in the middle and don't really protect Matt Ryan as well as you would hope up the middle either. people are going to think back to Mark's Hidden Figure and think, ooh, Greg got this right. Because Brown and
well,
Branch,
that is absurd.
Defensive tackle has been a long time weak spot. This is one area where I can say this Patriots defense is better than they have been in a while. These two defensive tackles
are
playing
well. That was an
absurd
attack. Right. We cannot get to Dan's Hidden Figure quick enough.
I will close out the Hidden Figure segment, which was very good, Greg, with a name. And I'm trying to think the Patriots, let's assume, because they're such a glory train that they put points on the board and win another Super Bowl on Sunday. Who is going to be the surprise player on offense? Because you know the Falcons have dedicated a lot of time in the last 2 weeks studying up on Chris Hogan. Obviously, Julian Edelman looking out for. Martellus Bennett. Deion Lewis. The well-worn stat that the Patriots are undefeated when Deion Lewis is activated. But I'm going to throw a Hidden Figure out there. Hey, this one's a little saucy. I'm proud of myself. Because he was very effective, got hurt, came back, didn't really have any role in the AFC Championship game, but I expect Malcolm Mitchell.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
To again be active over Michael Floyd, and given two more weeks to rest up that knee injury, he gets deployed in a way that leads to a saucy 5 for 91 and a touch. A nice performance from Malcolm Mitchell in this game.
Good outside receiver, and the difference I think between these two defenses are the Falcons give up more big plays, and Malcolm Mitchell I think is a good candidate to get over the top. If they're going to throw it deep, it's going to be to Hogan or Malcolm Mitchell. I could see that. I thought you were going to go with Super Bowl 49 hero Danny Amendola. I thought that's where you're going. He hasn't really done
fan.
A lot.
Well,
lately.
How is a Super Bowl hero a hidden figure?
Well, he's been pretty quiet lately. That's all.
The Wes isn't here. Well, that's Wes's corner to pump up Danny Amendola as one of the greats of all time. I'm getting with Malcolm Mitchell in a big spot. All right, good hidden figures. Let's move on, gentlemen. Before we make our picks. Our official Super Bowl 51 picks, which will include the final score and the MVP of the game, and we will not be wrong. Well, some of us will be wrong. Let's do some sandwich props. Some Super Bowl go get my lunch, you garbage pal, you piece of dung, you nobody. Get my sandwich.
So many appealing images for food and to be eating food with.
All right. Mark, you will go first. You are not a fan of food, but now that you're swept up in love over Jimmy Garoppolo, you're talking about guacamole, winking at him across the room.
Again, that was Nate Solder, but you are right. I've talked to multiple Patriots. Well, someone else even asked that question, so I was just essentially recording it.
You did privately text me after one of the availabilities and said, I know this is going to sound corny, but the temperature in the room changes when Jimmy walks in.
I did not. You know what? I'm not even going to deny it. I think the listener knows that is absolute garbage.
All right.
He's like, I'm going to stay in my hotel room tonight. And, you know, I just saw Jimmy. And
that will be fine.
What are you getting at with that one?
That will be absolutely fine, Greg.
That's some crude humor.
That really
from
was.
Greg Rosenthal.
That really was.
I enjoyed it. I like it.
I'll tell you what
it.
I was actually doing. Can I plug
this bro
something real fast?
Bro humor is taking off. McAfee's coming on to our corner. We got to up our bro game.
Let me plug some real fast. I was in the room two nights in a row writing a story about the Houston Astrodome. And
okay.
I went
everyone should check it out.
Well, I went into it thinking, you know what? Okay, it's an interesting building. I remember watching the Oilers back in the day. But real quick, talk to Jerry Glanville. And Bruce Matthews talking to Jerry Glanville. It was a 20-minute interview. I cannot believe what he told me. The guy is absolutely hilarious. I tried to get as much as I could of it into the article, and the rest I'm going to save for an AFC Central article down the road, but it's on the NFL.com right now. On to sandwiches.
Beautiful. Nice plug.
What Jerry didn't he Glanville? Call you Sailor? He called you Sailor.
Something like
he's
that.
He's like, hey, Sailor.
Yeah, he's exactly the same guy.
He was always one of my favorite analysts on Inside the NFL in the old Len Dawson, Nick Monacani days. All right, here we go. Get us going. If you're not familiar with this game, and by the way, so many people in this area, fans of the show, I've had several people come up to me at different bars saying they love the pod. So thank you to everyone that listens. And if you see Mark Sessler in the wild, which might be hard to do, but if you see him, let him know you're a big fan.
Yeah, and tell him we said hi.
All right, tonight's a possibility. I've been hidden away.
All right, go ahead, Mark.
All right, I told you I like Lady Gaga, so this is Lady Gaga oriented. Here we go.
Okay.
Lady Gaga will do something during Super Bowl 51, during the Super Bowl 51 halftime show, that will immediately qualify as legitimate breaking news beyond the sports world and still be debated and discussed 10 years from now. It won't be a wardrobe malfunction, number one. As I did with the Trent Richardson prop, though, I will pay up the sandwiches if the first part, the breaking news part, does not happen. It will be shocking and fascinating.
Well, who decides? We need someone
independent
to
arbiter.
Judge this on some
maybe our driver,
because most likely it'll be
Wesley. Wesley can decide it.
Okay,
but I think it will make breaking news on other outlets. I think that will be, if you see it happening on, we're talking major news stories.
Does this connect to your there will be no final score in the Super Bowl prediction?
Not directly.
Okay.
Not directly, but I do think
Mark's
that she
like,
will
good
be.
Idea.
It's the kind of thing that people will be talking about what she did long after they're talking about this game.
All right, I will take you up on that.
Yeah,
I'm excited about her performance. I think she detailed the months and months of planning that have gone into building out the show, and she did say it will be a very physically demanding show. Where she'll be up on, I'm guessing that usually translates to she'll be up on wires at some point. Now, I don't want to see, then you start to get to a tricky area. Could something bad happen to Lady Gaga?
Well,
I was not
going there.
Like, what could happen that would qualify as breaking national news?
Well, she could make
something bad.
Breaking news is not, the bar for breaking news is lower than it's ever been.
It's a
in this country.
We're
it is
that
nebulous, but that's why
again.
I think we can have an arbiter, but I think it's the kind of, it'll be a talk piece, the kind of thing people are talking about still.
Here's
a year
what it could be.
Now.
She makes a really bold political statement.
Sure.
That would probably be, but I didn't get the sense listening to her. You never know, listening to her today, I feel like she made it clear that she wasn't gonna.
She's gonna let her message speak for itself. That's so. All right. Here's before I do officially take you up on her pass.
I'm taking it.
Did Left Shark, for instance, which became a nationally trending story, would that count?
I don't think Left Shark was breaking news. I think that was pop culture and trendy. If she does something, if she wears an outfit that everyone else starts wearing, I don't think that would be it. I'd be giving you a sandwich.
I'll take you up on it. That's a good one, Mark. You hung a little onion there, and I enjoyed it.
Well, it's, you know what, without, it's sad not to have Wes here, but it's one less sandwich, so I can get bold.
That's true. All right, go ahead. Greg, you hit us with a sandwich.
See, I've got so many.
I know, but you just got to pick a couple, buddy.
It's called pre-show prep.
No, I did. I have three, and I want to do them all.
Be a pro, bro. Do them all. Go ahead.
Deion Lewis.
Good for you!
We'll finish the game with over 100 yards from scrimmage. Now, you might say, oh, that's not really hanging too much onion. Only done it once this season in many games.
Well,
only done it once all season, including
it was recently, though, right?
Not that recently. Week 15 against the Broncos. He did score 3 touchdowns in the playoffs. Only 60 yards that game. Deion Lewis, over 100 yards, I think he's going to be a big-time factor. He was my bold prediction in on the written side. You know, it's kind of, I've been riding this Deion Lewis train.
I think there's a good chance of it happening. I think it's logical that, you know, if they want to keep the ball out of the hands of the Falcons, that they use the running backs in multiple ways. But you know what? I'll take you up on it. Why not? I'll take you up.
I will also take you up on it. I thought Wes had a good take on Tuesday's show, I think it was on Tuesday. He believes that the Patriots will attack the Falcons by being physical, and I think that means a lot. LeGarrette Blount, which I think, although you're saying total yards, right, from scrimmage, so that includes receiving yards.
I think, run up the middle too, I think, Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I will take you up on that because I think Blount's going to have a big part of the game plan, which will affect the production from a numbers standpoint. But I think Lewis obviously can have a big impact in this game. My first one will tie into Deion Lewis as well.
Mm.
Actually, you know what? I don't want to do that one now because we just did it. I was just for fun. I'll let you know what it was. But Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman will have more total yards than Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount.
That's interesting.
It's interesting, but
not to get too far off topic. But today, Thursday, Dan Quinn, who was a delight all week, was really stressing, you know, we don't have to worry about anything but being physical. You wouldn't think he would really give things away, but he's talking about offense. He was like, that's our number one thing. Don't worry about what they're doing. Be physical. And it made me think, like, we could see a lot of running.
Yeah, we could. We'll see about that. I still think we'll see plenty of pigskins being tossed through the air, too, Greg.
Hey, these guys, two of the best passes of all time.
These guys can sling it. All right, here is my first one. The Falcons will score an opening drive touchdown for the ninth straight game.
I think it's nine. I will take you up on that. You know that.
So you think the Patriots, after 2 weeks of planning, will find a way to stall the Atlanta attack, which has been week after week after week perfect in their goal on their first drive of the game?
I do. You know the offenses are good when a popular question all week's been about whether they would take the ball if they win the coin toss, because both offenses are just so good. That's been a question, you know, as a defensive player, do you like that or not? Yeah, Patriots got to try to make a statement defensively, and I think if they win, it'll be by forcing, you know, lots of field goals, and so I'm going that they get a field goal.
Okay.
I think it's a coin toss if they score or not, but I will take you up on it because why not?
Way to play the
Let's
game.
Do it.
Mark, you're starting to learn how to play the game.
After 4 years.
All right, Mark, one more round.
All right. I'll show you that I'm not really learning how to play the game with this one. For the first time ever, the Super Bowl will go into overtime.
Oh, I like that.
I hope it does, but I will take you on that because the odds are in the favor.
Right. I mean, like every sandwich bet I produce is absolutely low odds for me.
But it does. It is one of my favorite like statistical oddities of the Super Bowl, which has been going on since 1967, I believe. 50 straight games without an overtime affair. It's weird.
We should do this. We should make it happen. Overtime.
Does this tie
is
into
the time
there'll
to do
be
it.
No winner of the game, Mark?
Well, Cannon in a tie, so no.
Yeah, it really this...
Not everything that I say, because there's so much that we have to say, ties into that at
Well, if you
point.
Think about it, this entire episode is problematic for Mark, because he predicted the game won't finish, and so that really changes almost everything he would say.
Well,
you
I was thinking
right,
downstairs,
no what you do.
Come up with something edgy and daring. It's like, I don't know how to top... the prediction that the game will not end or have a result.
Okay.
There's really no way
to set the
do
bar
that,
too
so.
High.
Yeah. All right, Greg.
Matt Ryan will throw for over 350 yards in a performance that, well, I guess we would need an independent arbiter here. That he's going to impress the world. Doesn't mean he's going to win. He goes over 350
Matt Ryan
yards.
Impresses the world
it's,
is your sandwich
It's going to be in a losing effort, you know, spoiler alert, but...
Is that
but it
part
won't
of the
be
bet?
Because of Matt Ryan.
Is that part
over
of the bet?
Over 350
that,
yards.
So over 350 effort? Yards passing, that's it.
I'm not going to take you on that because I completely believe that he will. Mm. Completely.
350 is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's going to happen.
I say he won't. He won't reach that number. He could throw for 309 yards, but 50, that's a true carving potentially, which I would love to see.
Or it's them coming from behind, and but it's not quite enough.
He could he could throw for 400 if they ended up just being in comeback mode the whole time. All right, here we go. This one is actually a little off in advance. This the winner of the Super Bowl will not have an official White House visit.
Well, that's interesting. It's tricky because. Yeah, it won't be decided, I suppose, until, you know, midway through the offseason, but that's fine. There's no rules.
Yeah, this one just got a little...
I love it.
I'm not going to... Well,
I'll take you up on it just for the sake of it, but I think you got to... I think because...
Go with your heart on this one. What do you think?
I agree with you that it's very possible that it won't happen, but tradition... I'm going to go with what has been tradition, that it will, but I will say that we're at a time where either the team or the White House could be... just as high of a chance to cancel it. And anything like that.
Donald wants it to happen.
Well, it's if it's the Patriots, I think if New England wins, they're going to the White House.
I
that's
don't know,
how I feel.
Because you got to think about Tom Brady, who has not been a fan of how this is all reflected back to him based on his Make America Great Again
Well,
hat.
But there's always players that don't go. Like the players...
Yeah, but Brady would seemingly be the most likely to go. I think The problem would be if they get the sense 30 to 40 players don't want to go as a sign of unity, do they just cancel it because it's embarrassing?
That's what I'm saying.
I'll take you up just because let's see where we are, but it's a great one. It's a great one.
I'm not taking you up on that because I think...
It's a strange time in our nation's history.
I mean, look, we played the clip last show, right, about Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft's, you know, thing with Trump. Kraft was at a fundraising or, you know, the night of the inauguration, or that was for donors. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's any right. White House trip.
Hmm. All right. So there you go. There are sandwich props. Our good friend Nick Fortier, if you would not mind updating the page, gogetyourlunch.org, which shows our all-time standings season by season, really in-depth. Also has an Around the NFL soundboard, which is a lot of fun. So check that out. Gogetmylunch.org. Okay. We've come to the final. The final countdown of today's podcast. It is time to predict the winner of Super Bowl 51. I will go first. And you know me. You know I don't like the Patriots. I ain't no fan of the Pats. I think they've had more than enough glory. And I'm factoring in all the different things, how great they're playing, what a great team they are on both sides of the ball. The fact that this is Tom Brady's final Super Bowl, and I know that there's going to be a creeping sense of dread in that locker room, even if nobody else knows about it yet, that this is it for the Belichick Brady, so they're going to want to go out a winner. But I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Shocking.
I think the Falcons are a special team that is going to finally get the full recognition they deserve. And I think they're going to do it the same way they've done it all year, which is they are going to railroad teams with that offense. I think they have one of the best offenses of all time, and I think this game will be the rubber stamp of that. I do not expect them to all of a sudden cower in the spotlight, and I don't think the Patriots, despite having statistically the best defense in the league now, I still... in my heart, don't believe they've been tested, certainly not at this level, and I think they're going to crack. Now, I totally believe in Tom Brady and that offense and their coaching, so I think it's a close game.
Took 21 weeks. You're back on the Brady train.
But I think a late touchdown by Matt Ryan, touchdown drive, wins it. The streak continues. The final score, 4 points or less, 34-30. The Falcons win Super Bowl 51. Let's give the MVP to Julio Jones, who goes over 180 yards with a couple touchdowns. And that is my prediction. Mm. Come on, Dirty Birds. Do it for America. Mark.
Well, I talked a little earlier about what could happen with a sandwich.
Do it, Dirty Birds.
I think they are going to do it. I'm with you, Dan.
Wow.
By the way.
Surprise.
I didn't think that anyone was going to pick the Falcons. I'm happy to see. It's not a backstab at all, because I think it's going to be an absolutely fascinating Super Bowl. Remember, I picked the Broncos last year.
Well, we know Wes is picking the Pats, so yeah.
We do,
Greg, we ain't in the press box anymore in Arizona. No, means we're split. Hunts.
Yes, he's already said he's picking.
All right, so we know that, but I'm going Falcons, and I have this going into overtime. It's going to be tied 30-30, and the Falcons are going to get out of there with a game-winning touchdown, and you're going to have that camera shot on Belichick, and he's just going to be like staring with his, like, his hoodie and his sweatshirt flowing in the wind, and everything's going crazy down the field. Matt Ryan is named MVP. I think he crosses the 350-yard barrier. It is not a knock on the Pats. I agree with Dan. I think it's going to be one of the most competitive games we've seen. Forget the defense. Forget the number one defense. It's going to be offensive firepower. It's going to be an enjoyable one. Atlanta takes it. They're going to get their second title of all time in pro sports on Sunday.
I'm supposed to win this game. How come things didn't work out the way I wanted to? Grumble, grumble.
Well, as the confetti is falling, it would, if it worked out that way, Mark, it would be painful, but it would cushion it somewhat that I would know I'd get a sandwich out of it, because the game will have ended, and this entire prediction is a farce.
That's a cushion
You had to pick a winner.
Because,
you picked the winner.
No, as I always do, I find a way that if I'm going to pick a bet, find in another medium somewhere else to pick
a bet. Old down the middle Sessler. We should check his NFL.com picks. He probably picked
NFL.com.
Before, Greg, you make your pick, which I can imagine what it's going to be, as much as people knew who I was going to pick. But I will just say that I checked this. 13 of 20... one NFL media, quote unquote, experts, a group that includes both Greg and I on the written piece that's up on NFL.com, picked the Patriots to win.
That's pretty close to even.
And now I want to let you know that last year 20 of 22 NFL media, quote, experts picked the Panthers to win.
Including everyone but Mark. I don't know if you were online.
You
were
on there. No, you picked the Panthers also.
Online?
Online, yeah.
Oh, well, we make those earlier in the week. And then you... No, here's the thing.
I just remember you picked the Broncos.
I'll remember exactly what changed. I covered the Broncos all week, and something struck me about the fact that I kept asking, does what happened to you 2 years ago matter? And they were a completely different team. And I started to buy into the fact that, you know, you can overstudy for these games if you're an analyst too. And that I was like, Manning's going to get his moment. That just was how I felt. And so, yeah, I probably switched my pick at the end. I didn't even file one with NFL.com because I operate on my own clock this time.
You're a bad
boy.
Wow.
I also didn't know. I didn't even know clock. About it. So there's that.
Your own clock, Mark.
I didn't even know about it. Let's put it there.
Anyway, so my point being that whatever popular opinion is right now, don't assume anything because everyone thought the Panthers were going all the way last year, this time last year. Mm. Okay, Greg, now we need somebody to pick the Patriots. We'd seem weird if nobody did, and you're going to step up and be the hero New England needs.
Of course. You mentioned Julio Jones, by the way, which we haven't even mentioned this show or week, and I think he is going to have a monster game. Forget this, they take the best weapon away from you. It's Julio Jones. This guy is one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen, and he is someone throughout the week that I will have a different image of Julio Jones after this week than before. Very likable guy, very personable, smart, seemed to be just ready, and I don't think the Patriots defense is going to really stop them. I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be, like I said, like that Colts-Saints game where there's very few stops. There might be some field goals. Maybe there's one turnover that flips it, but both teams go back and forth because they don't have any pass rush. Everyone always told us the pass rush is like the most necessary thing in the NFL, and yet two teams are in the Super Bowl that really don't have a great pass rush. And I don't think, you know, Vic Beasley is going to get past Marcus Cannon. I think Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick are two of the best coaches on their respective sides of the ball in NFL history, at least the Shanahan family. You know, Bill Belichick once said Mike Shanahan is the best game planner and best guy at adjusting in game. And that's what I would say about Bill Belichick. They're great at changing on the fly. So it's as great a matchup when the Patriots are on defense as could be possible in terms of the coaches. But I give the Patriots the slight edge because their defense has been better in situational football all year. That's why they're number one in scoring defense. The number one scoring defense does always take out the number one offense in the Super Bowl almost time after time. They prevent the Falcons from scoring touchdowns. They stop field goals. And for the second time in five years, I get the score exactly right on a hero pick on the podcast. Just like 2012 when I had 34-31 Ravens. I'm going 34-31 Patriots.
Wow. Yeah. Hello, Larry.
1 point off Dan's prediction.
Wow, Greg. All right, that was good, Greg. Okay. I mean, you're going to be wrong, but it was good. It was a lot of passion.
Good argument.
A very good argument. So there you have it. The old Zeuser has the 34-30 for the Falcons. Mark has 36-30 in overtime for the Falcons. And Greg, 34-31 Patriots. So we're all in the same ballpark and thinking that this will be a high-scoring, tight, taut battle of two superpowers in the NFL. So hopefully it ends up that way, and hopefully Gaga performs well and survives, thus avoiding Mark's prediction for a prop and pop sandwich.
Hopefully the game ends.
And
that's what I'm hoping for.
The game ends, and hopefully this country heals itself. All right, now I'm spinning it away a little bit. I'm going to come
by
back.
By Sunday?
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
Next time you hear from us, of course, will be Sunday night, and it will be the only podcast in town, the only game in town that will have a full recap of Super Bowl 51 the night of the game. We will go straight from the stadium where we cover the game back here to iHeartRadio Studios here in Houston. And thank you again to Sports Talk 790 AM for helping us with giving us a home to record this podcast. So thank you to them. Thank you for everyone for listening. Mark, thank you for hanging around. And now you're off to Jimmy G once more.
Off to cover the team that's about to lose the Super Bowl. Feels almost unnecessary.
I can't believe you turned on them.
I love that. That was great.
We had a nice moment.
Didn't
you know,
see
you
I'm not turning on anyone. It is all the same. They don't even know I exist.
After a while, you start to wonder if Mark just likes rooting for the losing team.
Oh.
I mean,
picked the winning team last year.
That was like in the NPR category of low digs.
That was worse. NPR
well,
was
we'll
a,
get back
a light
to our
joke.
Studio where Greg becomes, you know, a friendlier individual, hopefully, back in Los Angeles.
The microphone changes a man. We learned that. Okay. So thank you, everyone. And let's get excited because Super Bowl 51 is coming up next. Oh, football's great. This is Dan Hansis signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Boss, the First Lady of the Around the NFL podcast, New Money Behind the Glass. Till Super Bowl Sunday! Dan Hansis here again. Interested in scouting? Then email a scouting report describing your favorite NFL player of the 2016 season to movethesticks@nfl.com for your chance to win a year subscription to NFL Game Pass and talk to the Move the Sticks podcast hosts Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. Mentions both of them. Check out nfl.com/scouting competition for more details. Open until February 17th, 2017. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents 18 and older of the United States and the District of Columbia. Maron!